Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 29. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 9th chapter. The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these people the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine, and became drunk, and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it on their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, these things were written for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come, and there's too much instruction in this particular section. But for starters, sin does not perish in the flood. The Lord's own prophecy from last week shows itself true, that the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. There's no utopia after the Lord restarts his world. The deep corruption of sin cannot be excised simply by subtraction, nor certainly can it be done at all by our hands. And this is the wisdom that Christians can bring to every matter of human governance. The improvement of society has limits, and its purposes are provisional always. That actually makes some measure of progress possible and worth preserving. But it takes more than we can muster to really deal with our problem, which is antediluvian and universal. We have to live with sin. That is, we have to fight against it all the time. In Noah's sin of drunkenness, we learn biblically what a foolish college student's photo reel probably could also teach us, that some sins bring their own punishments with them. And shame is good, at least at the start. It's right to guard your honor and your integrity. It is good to have a conscience that is able to be pricked whenever your guard has failed, when you have failed. If your conscience is working, you are going to feel it, because a working conscience is a guilty conscience. If your conscience is especially tender, you may need to learn the limits of shame. And that is found in the forgiveness of sins. But if your conscience has become hardened or dead, St. Paul says vividly, seared like a steak that has been burnt to a crisp. If that has happened to your conscience, then you are in the most danger of all. It is true, you won't be bothered by the judgments of everybody else out there. But that also means that you cannot be helped by any of the corrections and care of those who care for you, including God. You'll be dead to his law. And if that is the case, then the forgiveness of sins will be a dead and meaningless word to you in turn. And that is a disaster. A Christian must let the Word of God rule and govern our consciences, and that alone, always. The law will tenderize and will convict with the knowledge of the right thing. And the absolution will comfort. It will make it possible to go on from this morning without shame. This is such a blessed teaching, dear friends. This is a patrimony that we have received not only from Noah and Shem, of course, or their descendants, but from the Father of all lights, revealed and delivered for our sakes in the descendant of Shem, Christ Jesus. Christians alone in all the world know how to deal with sin, with the real problem that no one can deal with. We might be nearly satisfied with Socrates or Aristotle when it comes to knowing what is right to do in this world. Who can deny that they have gotten just about as far as anybody can with nothing but natural law? Even so, we as Christians don't have to be satisfied with that. We have the very word and commands and apostolic preaching of God Himself about what is right and what is wrong. And if our consciences were always resonating with this, well, then they would be tuned perfectly. And yet, even so, in us, that will bring about perfect shame only. But the message that Christ's blood has forgiven this, the message that He has covered us over, as our hymn sang so well, with holy baptism and its promises, that He has atoned for us, that He's delivered His own righteousness to us, and not only covers our shame, but washes our guilt away and makes us spotless and immaculate and holy as He is. This is what really and fully deals with sin and with shame. And as the Catechism says, this is peculiar. This is special. This is unique only to us, only to the Christian Church. Now, we as Lutherans have spoken a long time, for many centuries, about consciences and how much we care about them, that our preaching and our teaching and our life is directed to instructing and comforting consciences. That's never been idealistic or idle talk, dear friends. That is the way of righteousness. That is the only perfect way, in fact. We have a picture of it famously in this family of Noah. Shem and Japheth do not take advantage of their father's shameful nakedness. They don't retweet it. They don't make it into a meme. They do not laugh and heap further shame upon him. If they drew any attention to it at all, it was surely directed toward his restoration as an honorable father of the family. That's seen most vividly in their act of covering him up with that garment and taking so much care to do it honorably. This story, then, is the classic example in catechism class of honoring fathers and mothers, fourth commandment. It's just as valuable, though, for each and every one of us in our relation to one another. In the Lutheran Church, we are not satisfied simply to correct, and certainly not to mock. That's not the way that we preach God's law. We certainly do not delude ourselves that we're going to root out sin and bring about a utopia in the church or outside of it. But it is our goal to have every sin covered, not with a blanket or a thin layer of snow, as some have said, but with the blood of Jesus Christ that does cover all sin. That attitude is exemplified in the church's wise choice to allow confession of sins to be mercifully private Not to parade our sins through the nave and the chancel and boast about them. Not to wail around on an anxious bench or run up to the front as an altar call and brag for 20 minutes about how long we've sinned. And so we probably know a lot more about forgiveness than you do. Now, just as the aim of individual confession and absolution is that a sinner would be restored and freed of all shame by the applications of Christ's grace and forgiveness, so this very same attitude is to be at work in each of us. This is the aim of every interaction within the family and within our fellow Christians, that no one's sins would be left unforgiven. I'm tempted to say that the world could learn from us how to forgive a little bit also. I'm sure that imitating us as Christians would at least relieve the great ham-fisted society that we have ourselves now. But I'm not going to say that because I'm not satisfied until they also are brought into Christ Jesus and the real forgiveness of sins that only His blood can give. We're out of time, so I hope the person who gets to preach next week on Genesis will talk about the wonderful promise that all of us Japhethites are able to live in the tent of Shem, because from Shem comes Christ our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.